Yeah, thanks. Well, my talk would be today on a different subject. And in fact, I mean, this subject emerged in 1980s, where the people were desperate to solve QCD in the limit of large number of colors, and several methods were introduced. One of these methods, it was this method of reduced matrix models. It's called as well Aminoguchi-Kawai models. And in fact, quite recently, the subject again became quite fashionable in connection with non-commutative theories. Okay, so I will start my talk from some, in fact, pedagogical introduction to the subject. And okay, and then I would mention some original results obtained in collaboration with Jan Ambjorn and other people. Okay, so reduced matrix models are with us since 1982, and roughly speaking, the idea is as follows: that a d-dimensional quantum field theory, okay, in particular, lattice gauge theorem, in the limit of infinite number of colors, it equivalent to the one living, just at a point. Okay, and roughly speaking, the idea of this equivalence looks as follows. Okay, we have an infinity associated with, the gauge group. Okay, we have some finite, volume in the d-dimensional case. Okay, and we have a model living at a point, or, in the lattice case, just living in the, on a unit hypercube, okay, and because of this infinity, this kind of equality is possible. Okay, and soon after these models were introduced, okay, once again by Gucci and Kawai, it was recognized that in fact, the life is not as easy, and it was discovered by this gentleman, that in fact, some breaking of some symmetry which was necessary for existence of this kind of equivalence, okay, this symmetry in fact is spontaneously broken, when the dimension of the space-time is larger than 2. Okay, and this gentleman introduced a procedure, it was called as quenching prescription, which allows to, still maintain, this equivalence, at the quantum level. And another prescription, it was introduced by this gentleman, by Gonzalez Arroyo and Nakava, about the same time. And in fact, I would be mostly describing this prescription just because it turned out that, this prescription is called twisting prescription, was associated with, non-commutative theories. And it was, the one which was, in fact, discussed, recently. Okay, so the first, the general idea of this, of this Lagrangian reduction. Okay, historically, it's called, the Parisi prescription, but if you would read, the paper by Parisi, it doesn't look that something like that is written in that paper, in fact. Okay, but the idea is as follows, that, okay, so given a matrix-valued field, okay, these indices, okay, they're supposed to be red, but it's not seen, they're red. Okay, these indices are associated with, the matrix structure of the field. Okay, and this, this x is just, the coordinate. Okay, the idea of this Lagrangian reduction is as follows, that we can substitute, this matrix I mean, this matrix field, like a gauge transformation, I mean, of a constant field, okay, with some matrices D, which has, I mean, the structure of the exponential of, I mean, of some, I mean, diagonal matrix multiplied by, I mean, the coordinate. Okay, so, I mean, this looks like, I mean, once again, like, I mean, a gauge transformation with a special gauge matrix. Okay, and I mean, all dependence, I mean, on the space-time, I mean, resides in these matrices, okay? And once again, I mean, this field is just a constant matrix. And explicitly, it's written right here. Okay, how we substitute. And now, if we would just plug in this, I mean, substitution into the standard action of this color field, I mean, on a lattice, I mean, what we get, it would be, okay, first of all, the interaction part would not change because it involves, I mean, the traces of phi. Okay, but the kinetic part would change, and, I mean, we would have a structure like that with, I mean, a cosine of the difference, I mean, of momentum. Okay, now the statement to that, I mean, it is, I mean, that in the limit of infinite n, I mean this reduced model, I mean, and the original model on an infinite lattice, I mean, are in fact equivalent in the following sense, that, I mean, all the averages, the vacuum expectation value, I mean, the vacuum expectation value just, I mean, averages, okay, so of some functional f, I mean, in the original theorem, and the limit of infinite n equals, in fact, to the averages, I mean, in this reduced model, calculated with, I mean, this reduced action. And after calculating the averages, I mean, we have to integrate, I mean, over piece. Okay, so, I mean, this looks like, I mean, the quenched prescription in statistical mechanics. And because our n, in fact, is infinite, instead of integrating, over this momentum, we can just say, uniformly distribute them, I mean, in a unit, I mean, hypercube, okay? Okay, and this would, I mean, reproduce, I mean, this integral. Okay, so now a few words how the planar diagrams are recovered. And in this, okay, and in this reduced model, as usual, it's convenient, I mean, just to represent everything, I mean, everything by the double, I mean, lines in Toff notations, and it's convenient, I mean, to associate a momentum variable with, I mean, a single line, so, I mean, the total momentum, I mean, flowing here, it would be, in fact, I mean, the difference, I mean, of the two momenta. Okay, so this would be, I mean, the propagator in this reduced model. Okay, and suppose we are, I mean, suppose we are reproducing this, I mean, the simplest diagram. Okay, so according to my prescription, first to calculate, I mean, this diagram in this reduced model, okay, it would give us an expression like that. Okay, with three propagator. Okay, and we have a sum of, I mean, this, I mean, index, which, I mean, I mean, which, I mean, circulates, I mean, inside, I mean, the loop. Okay, so, I mean, this, I mean, summation would give us, in fact, I mean, the integral, I mean, over, I mean, the momentum, I mean, afterwards. And going from this, I mean, from this individual momenta to the usual momenta, which flows, I mean, over these lines, I mean, over each of these, I mean, three lines. Okay, so it's a very simple exercise, and replacing this, I mean, summation by the integral, I mean, over, I mean, this momentum. Okay, we recover. I mean, we recover, the original diagram. Okay, and what I've been describing was, it was in the case, of the lattice, but it was shown that, in fact, a continuum, regularization, it's possible, and everything can be formulated, in the continuum as well. Yeah. I use it when I replaced the sum by the integral over here. Okay, this is possible only when n is infinite.
So in the left hand side, so u sum over k, so not the variable pk. So why the sum leads to integral k?
Okay, suppose my pizza, it would be because of the integral over all the p. Excuse me, over all the piece, okay, but in fact if I would just uniformly distribute them in them in hypercube, okay, then it would be clear that the sum would convert into the integral. I assume that these guys are uniformly, yes, I assume these guys are uniformly distributed between minus pi over a and plus pi over a. Okay, so and because of that, this summation would recover me the integral.
Maybe you just. So on the previous passage, it was a sum over mu there.
It was a sum over what? Yes, over mu, yes.
Yeah, so I think the question was how it covers the entire b-dimensional total. So there is one for each direction, one set of p's for each direction, there are four. I don't know. I was guessing maybe the question was something else. Okay.
Well. In fact, this distribution, Herbert, was right. This distribution was, hypercube. So it's why, really the d-dimensional, integral was recovered. Okay, so. Okay, maybe I will just flash, these transparencies, from the Gross and Kitazawa, case, okay? Okay, and they propose to distribute not, uniformly, okay, but, with some Gaussian weight. And in fact, this distribution is crucial for the problem. It is because it always fills, the cutoff. Okay, here it was, the lattice cutoff, and here it was, this kind of cutoff. And in fact, without a cutoff, it just no way to, formulate any reduced model. The cutoff, is always, in front, of your reduced, action. Okay, now we go to the Gucci-Kawai model. And at the first sign, everything should be simpler just because, okay, now when we do this reduction, with this prescription, okay, which looks like a gauge transformation. Okay, so the first questions we're asking is how it could be compatible with the gauge transformation. Whether this prescription would be compatible with the gauge transformation. And of course, the answer is yes, okay, just because it looks like a gauge transformation. And it's shown right here that if you were just first first to make the gauge transformation, okay, and then this reduction. Okay, then after simple calculation, it is clear that this would be compatible if this reduced field depicted in blue is transformed, just I mean uniformly with matrices of the gauge transformations, okay, which are in turn reduced according to this formula. Okay, so this reduction in fact is very smart because it is compatible with the gauge transformation. Okay, but because of that we immediately meet the following problem. Okay, so when we substitute everything into the latter section and do this simple algebraic calculations, okay, this extra matrices would not first completely cancel, okay, so it would be a product of the four which would be left. Okay, and this demus I defined as follows, okay, just what was left after we multiply the this original matrices at neighbor links. Okay, but now because this discommute, and let me just remind you that this P was a diagonal matrix, okay, it's why this discommute. Okay, we are left with the following very simple action, and this is the original Gucci-Kawai action. And let me just mention that it would be possible to make another kind of reduction when this D would not commute, okay, and then it would be a factor which would appear after this reduction. Okay, in effect it would be the way how these twisted models appear. The proper D's would not commute in that case. Okay, so we obtain the following very simple action for this a Gucci-Kawai model. And now what about the averages? And if we average a gauge invariant functional of a link coming variable, this matrices D would completely cancel. Okay, so the result would be just the average a Gucci-Kawai model. Okay, or if we substitute the Wilson loop as this averaging functional which is known to be gauge invariant, okay, then it would be just a product of constant matrices along the same contour as here. And because this use of matrices they would not commute, so this would be this would not be a trivial expression. This would be really something not trivial. Okay, let me just write it, say for the case of for the case of a rectangle. Okay, so this would be my suppose my direction one, and this would be suppose my direction two. Okay, then it would be the trace of okay, and suppose this would be the length of this kind of of the rectangle would be T, and of this side it would be R. Okay, so altogether it would be U1 to T and U2 to R. Okay, and then okay, UY dagger to T and U2 okay, dagger to R. Okay, so this would be what we're supposed to average here. In the case of the reduced model, in order to reproduce the standard average for a rectangle. Okay, now a few words about the continuum. About the continuum Gucci-Kawai model. Okay, so and it can be obtained. Suppose from the latest one, just by the naive substitution of the exponential. Okay, and the action would be just the commutator squared. And this action is invariant, okay, once again after this the similarity transformation, it's obvious. And in fact, because of this formula, it's clear that in the continuum, what is reduced is not the gauge field itself, okay, but it is rather the covariant derivative which is uniformly transformed. Okay, so the prescription for the Gucci-Kovar reduction, in the continuum, it would be just to substitute the covariant derivative by this formula. Okay, now given this action, it's clear that the vacuum state, it would be just given by the diagonal matrices modular gauge transformation. Okay, now we see immediately a huge degeneracy of this vacuum state. And in fact it is clear that because all the vacuum are equivalent, we should we should integrate over these matrices, and this is the reason in fact why this model is not associated with a continuum theory. It should be written on my next slide. Okay, not yet, but let me just first show you what I mentioned about the reduction of gauge invariant averages. Okay, so we simply substitute the covariant derivative by this constant matrix field, and as we know that the Wilson loop it can be equally well represented either a gauge exponential a path order exponential of the gauge field or of the covariant derivative standing here. Okay, so when we substitute it would give us again a very simple formula. Okay, now just a few words, why the two models, are equivalent. The model on an infinite lattice, and the model on a unit hypercube, or in the continuum, why the original model of an infinite space and the reduced model at a point are equivalent. And in fact, what was crucial in showing this equivalence, it was vanishing of open Wilson loops. And of course, the original theory they're vanishing because of the gauge symmetry of the second kind. Okay, but now in the reduced model, they're vanishing because of the so-called R2D symmetry. We can simply shift this matrix by constant value multiplied by unit matrix, and of course the commutator would be invariant under such a shift. Okay, but the open Wilson loop, it would not be invariant under such a shift. And the symmetry, it has to be non-broken in order for this equivalence to be held. Okay, and if this symmetry is not broken, okay, then the open Wilson loop would vanish. So I can write the following formula. That an open Wilson loop would be proportional to a delta function of the nth of the loop. And in fact, what is written here, it would be simply a continuum analog of the Kronecker symbol of the Kronecker symbol on the lattice. Okay, so this symmetry is to be present in order for the two models to be equivalent, but it was shown that in fact it is broken. If D is larger than 2, and the reason for this breaking is it would be what I mentioned, the I mean, the future, I mean, degeneracy, I mean, of this vacuum state, and I mean, we should expand around this vacuum state to calculate the Gaussian, I mean, the Gaussian fluctuations, I mean, and stuff like that. It's not, I mean, a heavy job, but I mean, we would see that, in fact, well, I mean, it would be broken, I mean, it would be broken, I mean, for D larger than 2. Okay, so in order to save, I mean, the construction, I mean, the two modifications, I mean, of the original models, I mean, were proposed. Okay, the first was called, I mean, the Quench-Taguchi-Kawai model. It is when we, I mean, when we decompose, I mean, this matrix into the diagonal part and two unitary matrices, and we treat, I mean, the diagonal part, I mean, as quenched, and consider only these two, I mean, these two unitary matrices, I mean, as as dynamical variables. Okay, then it was shown that, I mean, this model would reproduce the theory, I mean, on a d-dimensional, I mean, lattice, and the symmetry would not be broken. Okay, and again, I mean, the prescription, it should be as follows. I mean, we should first to calculate, I mean, the average, I mean, with respect to these dynamical matrices V. Okay, and only after that, I mean, to integrate, I mean, over, I mean, the diagonal matrices. Okay, then, I mean, the symmetry would not be broken, okay, roughly speaking, because of this, I mean, I wanted, I mean, determinants coming from Gaussian fluctuations would cancel, I mean, in this, I mean, average. Okay, so, I mean, these models, it would be perfect, and it would perfectly reproduce, I mean, the planar limit of the original theory. Okay, but it would be valid, I mean, strictly at infinite n. Okay, so I mean the, well, I would say, I mean, slight, I mean, disadvantage, I mean, of this model is that, I mean, it would not allow the genus expansion in 1 over n itself. Okay, and quite soon another model was, I mean, introduced, which allows, I mean, this kind of genus expansion in 1 over n. Okay, and in this model, this matrix is D, which, I mean, which makes, I mean, the reduction according to the general Parisi prescription. Just 1 second, if I can find it. It's okay. So I mean, the same formula, I mean, of reduction, except now this D would be different matrices. Okay, and they're constructed from some non-commuting matrices gamma. And in fact, I mean, this idea was borrowed from the Kogut, I mean Susskind formulation of, I mean the fermions, I mean, on the lattice. Okay, and in that case, I mean, these gammas, I mean, were just, I mean, the gamma matrix is okay, but now, I mean, the size, I mean, of the matrix, it would be, I mean, n times n. And, okay, and these matrices obey the, I mean, the commutation, I mean, relation. It's called, I mean, the veil, Weyl-Toff commutation relation, where the Z, I mean, is an element of the center. An explicit, I mean, realization of this commutation relation is known. I mean, the simplest one in D equal 2 is given by two matrices. The so-called, I mean, diagonal, the so-called diagonal, clock matrix and shift matrix, diagonal matrix. And these two matrices would commute exactly to omega. And in two dimensions, L in this formula, it would be just n. The matrix, size, it would be just n.
Rich complex is wild, right? Rich complex is wild.
Of course, well, consider the finite dimensional representation of quantum mechanics of Geisenberg commutation relation.
This is also called the Heisenberg algebra because the commutator lies in the center. So,
yeah, but normally, Heisenberg, commutator, it's called the commutator. Well, it's called sometimes, yeah, but normally, what we call Heisenberg, we mean something like that. But okay, but when we approximate these guys by unitary matrices, okay, then it was done by Weil and Weil.
Maybe Weil called it the Heisenberg algebra.
It could be Weil. I don't remember. Well, I read.
It turned out that the mathematicians knew this, so Springer in Utah turned out to know this, and then you can construct the representations. And these are called the Schrödinger representations. I'm just wondering where this terminology is coming.
Of course, all this is written, in Weil's book. Okay, this reference is just to Weil's book. These formulas are just written in the Weil's book. Okay, but I don't remember how it's called. Anyway, it was not called in the book as Weil Toft commutator. That's for sure.
Then I showed it to Springer, and he immediately said, "Oh, but I know what this is. This is the Heisenberg algebra." So I was very surprised.
It's probably not what's called in the Heisenberg algebra. It's probably what's called in the Heisenberg group or something like that. But let's not discuss this. And of course, mathematicians study all this kind of stuff in connection with Wigner-Weil, or maybe Weil, Wigner, and Moyle, represententation of quantum mechanics by functions, okay, not by operators, okay. It's why mathematicians know about that, because mathematicians more like functions okay. Okay, now explicit solution to this commutation relation in four dimensions is known as well. Okay, and here it's depicted, the simplest possible solution. It was found by Gonzalez, Arroyo, and Nakava, and then many people, like Pierre, found the complete solution of the problem. But what I would be describing, it would be mostly based on this simplest solution in four dimensions, okay? And this simplest solution in four dimensions, in fact, it is just, we construct four matrices, gammas as, direct products of two-dimensional matrices, okay? And this, again, reminds pretty much like the four-dimensional gamma matrices, associated with, spinors can be obtained in quite similar way from, the two-dimensional, from two-dimensional, sigma matrices. Okay, so, this is, the simplest, solution, to that, commutation relation, in four dimensions, you can imagine, okay, this kind of solution exists, in fact, not, it exists, not, it, it exists not, I mean, always, but it, I mean, it requires, I mean, that the size of each of these individual matrices, which I call as, L capital. Okay, so L capital squared, it should be N. Okay, for this equation to be hold. Okay, and then when we commute, these two matrices, we see that in fact, Z mu nu, it would be given, by the following formula, where this, N, entering here, it would be equal to, L. Okay, so, this solution, is possible, and what I would be describing, it would be based, on this kind of solution. Okay, now how to construct, real theory starting from this kind of construction. Okay, so again, we plug in into the d-dimensional action, the reduction formula, and because in the action phi would enter, at the neighbor point, the reduced action, it would look as follows. It would involve the two matrices, gamma. Okay, now in order to calculate, the average in the original theory, we calculate the average, with respect to this matrices phi with this section. And we substitute everything according to the Parisi prescription. Okay, now beautiful structures appear when we start to prove why this a reduced model, is equivalent to the original model. And roughly speaking, the idea of the proof, it would be just to map this matrix, onto, a field, leaving on a lattice, of the size, of n squared in two dimensions, or, it should be, arranged, slightly in order to, fill, a four-dimensional, lattice in four dimensions. Okay, so, roughly speaking, this idea, why this reduced matrix model would be equivalent to any kind of quantum field theory in d dimensions is based on this mapping of the fields and while it can be written, little bit more explicitly, and if we make a kind of, a Fourier decomposition, of this field first, first on a two-dimensional, lattice for this, for the right-hand side, and then a decomposition of the matrix field, in this elementary clock, and shift matrices, like this one. The Fourier coefficients would be, the same. These Fourier coefficients would be the same in both cases, but just, in one case, it would be represented, as a matrix, and, in another case, it would be represented, as a field, But it is clear that, these two representations, it would be just, the same. Okay, and formally, it can be nicely written, introducing, such a matrix-valued function of X, Okay, which would just convert, I mean, one basis into another one, and correspondingly, I mean, these matrices onto this, I mean, onto these fields, I mean, and vice versa. Okay, so. Okay, so now, given, I mean, this formula, we can easily, I mean, substitute this Fourier, I mean, decomposition into our, I mean, lattice section, I mean, on a d-dimensional lattice, and it would be, I mean, the same, I mean, formula is just, I mean, the reduced, I mean, action, I mean, I have shown you. Okay, so for, I mean, the kinetic part, it would be just, I mean, an equivalence. I mean, the two, I mean, these two actions, I mean, would be expressed, I mean, exactly, I mean, in the same way, I mean, where this, I mean, where this, I mean, coefficients, I mean, of, I mean, the Fourier, I mean, decomposition. Okay, but not, I mean, the, I mean, interaction term. Okay, and in the case of, I mean, the interaction, I mean, term, it would appear, I mean, a phase factor. Okay, so, I mean, in the case of just, I mean, single scalar field on a d-dimensional lattice, it would be exactly this kind of, expression for the cubic, I mean, interaction, okay, except for this extra phase which appear in the case of the matrix model. Okay, but in a moment, I mean, I would show you that, I mean, this phase would play, I mean, crucial role, I mean, in proving the equivalence of the planar limit. Okay, so, I mean, the planar limit in both cases would be the same. And in fact, I mean, this proof of equivalence is based on some very important, I mean, theorem, which was proved in the beginning of the 80s and states, that this extra phase completely cancels, I mean, out for planar diagrams, okay? And in fact, it remains for, I mean, all the non-planar graphs. Okay, and because of that, I mean, when we, I mean, integrate, I mean, in non-planar diagrams, I mean, over, I mean, the momentum. Okay, and this phase, it can be nicely expressed, I mean, where, I mean, the momentum. Okay, so, I mean, if I introduce, I mean, the momentum variable instead of, I mean, the summation, I mean, over my, integers, I mean, m and n. Okay, so when I introduce, I mean, the momentum variable, okay, then it would be some nice expression. I mean, it would be a bilinear combination, I mean, of momentum which appear. Okay, and this, I mean, theta, it would be expressed by the following formula, I mean, where, I mean, the parameters, I mean, of, I mean, the original, I mean, theory. Okay, so, I mean, in the limit of infinite, I mean, this theta would be just, I mean, infinite. Okay, so my phase, I mean, would be, I mean, infinite in this limit. And because of that, I mean, and because, I mean, and because, I mean, it remains, I mean, in non-planar diagrams, I mean, the contribution of non-planar diagrams would be suppressed. And in fact, it can be estimated, I mean, of how it would be suppressed. Okay, just, I mean, estimating the, I mean, order, I mean, the order of the diagram in theta at latitude, I mean, theta. Okay, and using, I mean, the formula, I mean, I've shown you, it can be shown that the suppression would be exactly as we expected from the matrix model. I mean, n to the power, I mean, of, I mean, of minus twice, I mean, the genus of, I mean, the diagram. Okay, so in such a way, the standard topological, I mean, expansion of Toft, I mean, would appear, in this completely different model with this extra phase. Okay, so once again, this phase would cancel in planar diagrams, and because of that, the planar diagrams would be the same in the case, of d-dimensional theory. Okay, and this twisted reduced model, okay, but the phase would be left in non-planar diagrams, okay, and because of that, the non-planar, diagrams, would be suppressed, in that model. Okay, and this suppression, it should be exactly, as we expected, from the standard Toft. From the standard Toft, argument. Okay, now, we repeat the derivation of the lattice section. Okay, but now this matrix D, okay, it would no longer be the diagonal matrix. I pointed you. In order to obtain the action. If I find the transparency, I can show it to you once again. Okay, so during this process of reduction, it always appears an expression like this. Okay, now we have to commute this d mu. Okay, with this d nu. Okay, and after we commute, this d would completely cancel. Okay, but now the commutator, it would no longer be one. It would produce us this extra z factor. And because of that, the model we obtain, it would look almost like this original Gucci-Kawai model, except this factor would appear. And in fact, the presence of this factor would be crucial for finding. It would be crucial for finding. The vacuum state. Of this model. Okay, and what is in fact written here? Below is written that. This twisted Gucci-Kawai model. In fact, is nothing else but the lattice gauge. Theory. On a unit. On a unit, hypercube is twisted boundary conditions, okay? The original Gucci-Kawai was with periodic boundary condition, okay? And this is with twisted boundary, with twisted boundary conditions, okay? And here, okay, and that was written what it does mean, twisted boundary condition. Okay, now because of the presence of this extra Z factor, this extra symmetry would never be broken. Okay, roughly speaking, it happens just because now the vacuum state, it would no longer be, a diagonal matrix. It would be rather be, this matrix gamma. Okay, and then in order to construct the perturbation theory, we expand on this background, okay, and it would be no degeneracy in this perturbation theory, okay? It's roughly speaking why the sector symmetry would not be broken and why this original model, it would be equivalent to why this twisted Gucci-Kawai would be equivalent, to multidimensional theory. Okay, now again, how the observables look in this twisted Gucci-Kawai. Okay, here is written an expression for the Wilson loop, and now it would involve an additional factor. Okay, so it would be a product, of these guys, as before, for ordinary Gucci-Kawai, for usual Gucci-Kawai. Okay, but now it would be this additional, this additional factor, in this expression, for the Wilson loop. Okay, and in fact, it has just appeared, after we, substituted, this formula, of reduction I mentioned, and we did, all the computation, it has just appeared. Okay, and in fact, it is clear that it has to appear, because now I'm in vacuum state. It looks like this. Okay, so when we just consider, the theory, without, interaction. Okay, we should substitute, this gamma, here. Okay, and then it would be just cancelled, by this factor. Okay, so it's why, the Wilson loop, it would be equal one. In the absence, of interaction, in the weak coupling expansion, of this, twisted Taguchi Kawai model. Okay, but now because of the presence of this factor, the open Wilson loop would always vanish, just because, it would be just because, the product, of this gammas, would vanish, unless we go, through, the whole, lattice, right? Okay, so if we just consider, the Wilson loop, inside, when the number, of links, of our contour is much less, than the matrix, the matrix, size, okay, then, the trace of these guys, would vanish, okay, and it would not vanish, only when, we met an expression like, gamma to the power of L, which would be equal 1. Okay, so when the contour would go, through, the whole, lattice, okay, then, it would not vanish. Yeah, of course, just next transparency. Yes.
Previously, your gamma mu's were just some position independent closed
yeah.
matrices, but now you put a link.
I just multiply them, over links. As I explained before, say for a rectangle, I just multiply along the rectangle. As I explained before. My use and correspondingly my gammas, independent, on the link, okay, but I simply multiply along the link. Okay, so say for a rectangle, it would be a product of gamma 1 t and gamma 2. R, okay, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, they itself, space independent. Okay, so now the continuum limit, as you, correctly noted. Okay. And in fact, the continuum limit, it can be just, be straightforwardly obtained at, from that lattice formulation by the standard, substitution. Okay, in this formula, for gamma, the substitution for gamma, it looks pretty much like before, but now this piece. Okay, but now this piece would not commute. Okay, so this would be, the difference between that, original. Between that, original Taguchi Kawai and this, twisted continuum Taguchi Kawai, okay, and because of that, it would be, and because of that, the action would involve an additional term like that. Okay, and naively, this term would vanish just because, the trace would, the trace of the commutator would vanish, okay, but not in this case, okay. In the limit of infinite, n, as we know from the Geisenberg commutation relation, the trace.
Well, no, what I'm interested in right now, we are worrying about the continuum with the lattice theory.
Yeah.
So you can get the continuum with the lattice theory by that way. But you can go to continuum with the matrix model, not the continuum limit of the lattice theory.
Of course I can, okay, but then it would be what a...
just for curiosity, you see, whether there's any nice way to go to continuity with the lattice theory by this way.
Well, I mean, it's possible to formulate everything just directly in the continuum, okay, but then I have to introduce, as I mentioned, regularization into the theory. Okay, suppose, the exponential, regularization by Gross and Kitazawa. Okay, and after that, I can, formulate everything, in the continuum. And in fact, it was just written, in this paper, except, they consider not the Gaussian, regularization, but just, restricting, the values, eigenvalues of momentum, inside, a sphere. Okay, so now very nice mathematical structure appear in this model just because, we see that the vacuum structure, it would be given by the solution, by minimizing, of this equation, okay, which means, that it means, that, the vacuum state would be given, in fact, it would be given by matrices obeying, this commutation, relation. Okay, so it would look, pretty much like, what I said. Like what I said about the lattice version. Okay, now one more remark, the fermions can be easily included, in this construction. Okay, and in fact, if we introduce a matter in this twisted model, it's written here forming scalars. The appropriate multidimensional theory, it would be what is called the Veneziana limit of proper gauge theory. It would be the limit when the number of levels it would be proportional to the number. To the number of colors. It would be the limit where the fundamental matter is left into the theory. Okay, now we can go a little bit further. Okay, and before that, in order to prove the equivalence of the planar limits of two theories, I consider the limit when my theta, okay, let me just, remind you that, my theta was, introduced in such a way, and it was, infinite, when n was infinite. Okay, but now suppose, I'm making a little bit more fine procedure, suppose I would let n to be infinite simultaneously with, a going to zero in such a way that my theta would be finite. Okay, this procedure, it looks pretty much like what's called, the double scaling limit procedure in matrix models when we approach, the limit of large n, simultaneously with the limit, of vanishing lattice, spacing. Okay, and according to my previous formulas, if lattice spacing, say, in two dimensions, it would behave like 1 over square root of n, okay, then my theta would be, infinite, okay? And in this way, starting from twisted Chikawai, we can obtain the theory with a finite theta. Okay, but now, you see what happens. Okay, now it happens, the phase factor, which was in my previous formula, it would be now finite. Okay, now I can equivalently, represent making my transformation from matrices into fields, I can equivalently, represent the trace of 5 cube in the reduced model, in the form of what is called a star product, of three fields phi. Okay, and this star product, it would be defined, in such a way, for this formula, would be valid. Okay, and in fact, it is just defined, in a way that, the product of two functions, it would be just compatible with, the product, of matrices. Okay, it was introduced again by Weyl, and then started, by Moyle, etc. Okay, so formulated my model, in X space. The only new ingredient is needed. It would be just to introduce, this star product. Between the product, of functions. Okay, and in the continuum, it can be just defined by the formula written here. Okay, this D, it would act, on this function, and this D, it acts, on this function. Okay, it's called, non-commutative product, of functions, star product, and once again, it represents, the non-commutative, product, of matrices. Okay, now we see that, in fact, okay, so now we multiply, all the functions, with this star product, and now we see that in particular, our space is non-commutative, because if we put just multiply, the coordinates, with this product, okay, then, this, star commutator, it would not be zero, it would be rather, theta mu nu, okay, so it looks like, our space now, just becomes, operators, instead of usual space, okay, but once again, it simply, represents, the rules, multiplications, of matrices in my original theory. Okay, so now just a few words how this construction works for the Gehrman theory. Okay, now it's possible to construct, a theory. Okay, so once again, just, started from, from the continuum, twisted a good Chikawai, I mentioned it can be identical, written, as, the following gauge, theory. So, the action would be, an integral of F squared, where, F squared looks pretty much like, the field strength in Young-Mills, theory. Okay, except the product of, instead of the product, of matrices, it would be a star product, in this formula, and it's called quite often a non-commutative Young-Mills just because, when we square, this guy, it would be of course, the kinetic term exactly the same as before, but in addition, it would be cubic and quartic, terms just like in the case of Young-Mills, theory. Okay, now, this theory, it would reproduce, of course, the usual, U1 in the limit of theta going to zero. Okay, but, it would reproduce, it would reproduce, the U infinity Young-Mills in the opposite limit, of theta going, of theta going to infinity. Okay, this would be exactly, as we discussed. Okay, so now just a few words about the properties of this kind, of theory. Okay, and it was, of course, calculated at the running coupling, in this, theory. Okay, and the calculation of running coupling in, the background field method, it looks pretty much like, in the case of Young-Mills. Except it should be now, UN Young-Mills, not, SUN Young-Mills. Okay, and we have two kinds of diagrams. Okay, we have a standard diagrams which we always consider in Young-Mills. Okay, but now in addition, we would have, a non-planar, diagram depicted here. And in fact, in that kind of theory, just, the psi and j, equal one. Okay, so, what is written here, is just, how it would look, in the case of UN, Young-Mills, when the matrices are multiplied. Okay, now, this diagram, it would be exactly like, in the case of large and Young-Mills. Okay, so it would have, logarithmic divergence. And I mean, the contribution to the beta function, it would be exactly the same, I mean, as before. Okay, and this diagram at theta non-vanishing would be not convergent, okay, because of this extra, I mean, exponential, okay, which appears, in this non-planar diagram, according to, I mean, the theorem I mentioned. Okay, so now, I mean, this diagram would be convergent and correspondingly would not contribute to the beta function. I mean, when our theta, it would be not equal, I mean, zero. Okay, so in fact, with logarithmic, I mean, accuracy, I mean, we can just, I mean, write down the following formula, okay? But now when, I mean, theta, I mean, equals, I mean, zero, okay, then it would be, okay, then, I mean, okay, then, I mean, this factor, of course, would disappear, and, I mean, this, and I mean, these two diagrams would cancel, so it would be exactly the case like just in Maxwell, I mean, theory. I mean, where the beta function would vanish. Okay, so the conclusion from this simple calculation is that, I mean, this non-commutative, I mean, Young-Mills, in fact, I mean, it is, I mean, asymptotically free. Okay, and in fact, I mean, the beta function is exactly, I mean, the same like, I mean, in the case of, I mean, U infinity, I mean, Young-Mills. Okay, this is what we expected just comparing, I mean, the diagrams. Okay, and the similar statement, is true. Okay, so, I mean, what I've said is written here. And in fact, I mean, a similar statement, I mean, is true for a slightly more general, I mean, theory, which is equivalent to to QCD, I mean, in the Veneziano limit, okay? Okay, so he has written what's called, I mean, non-commutative quantum, I mean, electrodynamics. Okay, so we had, I mean, fundamental matter. Okay, the formula looks pretty much like in the case, I mean, of Young-Mills. Okay, it is, I mean, star product, I mean, over here. Okay, now there is an interaction between this, between the fermions and, I mean, the gauge field, okay. Okay, and once again, I mean, the beta function can be evaluated, and of course it is exactly the same as, in the case of, I mean, the Veneziano limit, I mean, of, I mean, QCD. Okay, so maybe I would stop at this moment. Oh, well, I have, in fact, just a couple of moment transparencies. Okay, maybe just to show you what are, I mean, the subjects, I mean, which are involved, I mean, in this business. And, okay, now I'm approaching, I mean, something new, what was not known in 1980s. Of course, I mean, these non-commutative theories, I mean, were not known. Okay, but we do know, in fact, a lot about the properties, I mean, of these non-commutative theories because, I mean, they're just exactly equivalent, I mean, to, I mean, the twisted Taguchi Kawai. Okay, so the planar limit, I mean, is exactly the same as we know from the case of Lajin. I mean, from the case of Lajin, I mean, QCD, okay? Not much is known, of course, about the terms of 1 over theta expansion. Okay, but it was, I mean, a new achievement, I mean, recent achievement, okay, which looks, I mean, of course, it's very much physical, and I would mention this, but from the point of view of twisted Taguchi Kawai, it looks like, I mean, a technical achievement that, I mean, we can describe the gauge, I mean, theories, I mean, infinite volume, okay, by means, I mean, of twisted Taguchi Kawai, okay, and this was not known, I mean, in 1980s, and in order to do that, I mean, we should impose, I mean, we should impose some constraint, I mean, onto our field, okay? So, I mean, on the continuum field, it looks, I mean, like that, okay? It looks like, I mean, this, it looks like, I mean, the imposition of twisted boundary, I mean, conditions, I mean, I mentioned, okay? So, I mean, if we, I mean, constraint, I mean, our matrix, okay, so, I mean, in the continuum, by this condition written here, I mean, or, I mean, in the case, I mean, of the lattice, okay? Okay, but this condition, okay, then it's possible, again, to map this constraint twisted Taguchi Kawai, okay, I mean, on two, okay, and two, I mean, non-commutative lattice gauge, I mean, theorists, I mean, living, okay, living, I mean, on a finite lattice. Okay, so Sam, and the question was always, what is equivalent, I mean, twisted Taguchi Kawai, I mean, for finite metric size? Okay, now the answer, I mean, is obtained. It is just equivalent, I mean, to this non-commutative lattice gauge, I mean, theories. Okay, I mean, just one-to-one equivalence. Okay, and once again, I mean, when n is large, I mean, the usual equivalence in the planar limit, I mean, is recovered. Okay, but this is a little bit more. Okay, this is just an equivalence between the finite, between the twisted Taguchi Kawai, I mean, for finite matrices and the lattice gauge, I mean, theories, I mean, in a finite box. Okay, and what I've said, okay, and in some special cases, the constraint condition, in fact, okay, it has two parameters, okay, I mean, I skipped, but in fact, it's possible to have not only equivalence, I mean, of these two kind of theories which I mentioned, I mean, the twisted Taguchi Kawai with constraint, okay, non-commutative theory in a finite lattice, okay, but in some cases when the, when theta, it would be rational, I mean, in the units, I mean, of the, volume, I mean, of the lattice, okay, so in two dimensions, this ratio, I mean, of the volume, I mean, to theta, it would be, I mean, a rational number, okay, in units, in units of, I mean, 1 over pi, okay? So, I mean, in this case is, I mean, yet another third model equivalent to these two would appear. And this, I mean, third model, it would be just, I mean, usual lattice gauge, I mean, theories, I mean, on a finite lattice, but, I mean, with twisted boundary conditions, okay, and some gauge group which is related, which is determined, I mean, by this number. Okay, so, I mean, this result, I mean, is new. Okay, and again, it was known in 1980s, I mean, that the usual, I mean, lattice gauge, I mean, theories, in a finite box with twisted boundary conditions, it can be, I mean, represented, I mean, as twisted Taguchi Kawai with, I mean, an imposed constraint. Okay, now my conclusions. Okay, so the first conclusion is that, okay, it's possible to absorb the space time into the gauge group. Okay, it's what's called, I mean, this dimensional reduction. Okay, and it perfectly works, I mean, in the limit of large n and the, I mean at the level of planar diagrams, and it's possible even to consider this, this twisted Taguchi-Kawai at finite n, to get this non-commutative lattice, theory, which is equivalent, and in fact, this non-commutative theories in the limit of large theta would as well describe, planar diagrams. Okay, so this is the statement which I mentioned. Okay, but it's written here that it works. It was checked that this general statement does not work. In the simplest example of two-dimensional Young Mills, because of the infrared divergence, of the propagator. Okay, so then what I mentioned, that it's possible to construct these constraint models which describe the theories on a torus. Okay, and most interesting recent development of all this story, it's why this twisted Taguchi-Kawai model again became popular. It was, of course, connected with supersymmetric extension. And it was, considered as matrix models, describing of, superstrings. Okay, so, such a simple construction like this completely reduced, model, it has, in fact, very hidden features, like it may describe, even this world of superstrings. Okay, thank you.